Hi, my name is Blythe Alberg, and I would like to welcome you to the Cut the Fat podcast. Visit us at www.cutthefatpodcast.com. If you're new to us, we suggest that you listen to the first 3 to 5 podcasts for the basic toolbox on fat loss.
All right, we're back. How's everybody doing?
Hey, I'm doing great. How about you?
I'm doing fantastic. Absolutely fantastic today, and I just want to welcome everybody to Cut the Fat Podcast. This is episode number 23, right?
Yeah, we're like almost to the quarter mile mark, like 25. I went back and listened to number 1, number 2, and number 3 earlier this week, and it was still interesting to me, but you know, we sound like such beginners. I don't know. I think we're really getting the hang of this. I think with the more listeners we get, the more energy, the more new questions we get to answer. It's a lot of fun. I'm having a lot of fun doing this with you.
It's a lot of fun. And you know, teaching is one of the best ways to learn yourself.
Yes.
Because you really begin to embody the stuff that you're describing to people.
And you know what? You become accountable for researching and learning the information so you can teach it to others.
Right. And that's, you know, part of why in the beginning we talked about, it's our hope that everybody out there who's listening to us makes a pact with themselves to become an expert in the field of health and fitness, the go-to person that your family and friends come to when they have questions about health and fitness. Because when you start to teach other people, that's when you really start to embody this information, right?
Your knowledge base keeps growing.
Absolutely. So what if I told you guys that most weight loss attempts fail because they're missing one vital component? In fact, if your program had this one component, it would be like strapping a rocket to your back and sending your weight loss results into the stratosphere. The side effects provided
sound
by
effects,
Blythe Alberg, in case you didn't notice. Best of all, let me tell you this. Okay, if you keep using this one tactic, it will virtually guarantee permanent weight loss for a lifetime.
Wow.
You guys want to hear about this?
I want to know the tactic.
All right. Well, we'll get to that just as soon as we get through some of our housekeeping, right? We got to talk about Facebook.
Yeah. I visited the discussion board today, and so did you. I answered a few questions that were on there. There are some great topics on there. I want you guys to check them out on our Facebook page. It's Cut the Fat Podcast, no spaces in between. Just look us up on Facebook and become a fan, and you can hop on the discussion board, put up a new topic if you like, or read some of the topics that are up there because there are some great questions and answers on there.
Yeah, and you know, be sure to tell your friends about it too. There's, I guess, obviously a way that you can send out a request or an invite to your friends.
You can suggest our page to your friends, and it's a great way to get people learning and for you to be able to share build your knowledge base.
And build community.
Mm-hmm.
You know, build a social network of people that are like-minded.
Yeah. Very cool. Okay. So I've got one topic here. I know Ray's got one that he's going to read too, but I'm going to go first. We've got a question from one of our fans. Her name is Julie. It says, "Hi, guys. I absolutely love your podcast. I'm almost through all of them. I guess what I am most frustrated about is it seems like now that I'm in my mid-30s, 35 actually, that the exercise and eating routine I used to have that resulted in weight loss no longer is effective. So in the past, I could do a mile a day on the treadmill, watch what I eat, maintain a healthy weight. But now I'm struggling and doing a mile no longer works. I do take into consideration everything you say about strength training and interval training, and I have just started implementing that. But it is frustrating to me as to why the pounds are not budging as easily. I listened to podcast 6 over and over about how to speed up metabolism, and I'm not a member of a gym currently because where we live now, it's not convenient to be at one. So I'm trying to not only work in a new eating style, but I figured out how to create workouts here at home. I have reasonable equipment here, and I guess it's just a matter of learning what works for me at this age. Thanks, Julie." So Ray replied to this one, but I'm going to read the reply.
Are you going to read the reply?
Yeah. Can I do that? Can I read a part of it?
Okay.
Because,
go for it.
Because I want to call your bluff here. not your bluff, but okay. You say, "Welcome to the 35 club. Blythe is almost there." And I do just want you guys to know that I actually am there.
I thought she was 34, but
yeah,
she's 35.
Are you 35?
I'm 35.
Yeah,
I'm
we're the same age.
We are.
We're like a few weeks apart. Okay.
It's a match made in heaven, let me tell you.
Which is why we get along so well. I hear what you're saying, and we do see this a lot. And I want Julie to know that this is not uncommon. You know, once, especially women, once you reach your mid-30s, it becomes like a whole new formula that you have to figure yeah. out to be able to get the pounds to start moving again. You have to kind of reassess what you were doing and what you need to do to keep the same results happening.
Yeah, the ingredients to the recipe change a little.
Yeah.
And that happens for men and women both. From a scientific perspective, what they've seen is that as you get older, yes, your metabolism drops. And most of that drop has to do with muscle mass being lost through the years. But even when they look at the amount of muscle that's lost, it doesn't add up. So even the muscle that is still present on your body doesn't seem to burn the same amount of calories mm-hmm. as it did when you're youthful mm-hmm. or young. Younger. 35 is still way young.
When you're still in contact with your youthful reserve, right?
Yes. Yeah, we talk about youthful reserve in that response because there's like this magic that happens between the ages of 1 year old and about 25 to mm-hmm. 30, right?
Yeah.
And the magic is that you can abuse your body to a certain level and not suffer major consequences from that abuse.
Right.
That's how half of us make it through college.
Yes.
Am I right?
Yes.
You know? And what happens is when you hit that 30, 35 range, all of a sudden that youthful reserve is no longer there. So now you have to remain accountable to yourself mm-hmm. to live a life that's a lot more healthy than you lived when you were younger.
That's right? Correct. Yep. So basically, I guess the best piece of advice would be really pushing yourself in your workouts and really watching what you eat. Paying attention. I'm not saying, you know, be careful and never cheat or never have something that's off your meal plan ever again. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying be accountable for what you're putting in your mouth. Take ownership of that. And
you're just going to take it to a whole new level. Take what you've got.
Yes. Yeah. Take what you've learned and move forward with that.
Take it a notch up.
Yeah, become an adult, right? Don't think like a 20-year-old that's like, oh, right. If I go to McDonald's a couple times this week, it's really not going to make that much of an impact. Because
exactly.
Guess what? Now you're 35. Now it will make an impact.
Exactly. And basically what we're telling you is – what was her name again?
Julie.
Julie. What we're telling you, Julie, is that your days of running a mile on the treadmill and just somewhat watching what you eat are over. And that's just an artifact of the aging process. And yes, you're 35 and you're still very young. 35 is the new 25.
Mm-hmm.
But the truth of the matter is you've got to take it up a notch or even two notches just to keep the same results that you had when you were in your early 20s.
And Julie, you'll find that you enjoy pushing yourself and you enjoy the challenge. So have fun with it. You know, start doing some form of interval training that you like. You don't have to have a gym. Jump mm-hmm. rope for 30 seconds and then walk around an eighth of the track and then jump rope again. Or take a jump rope to the track with you and jump rope all the way around the track. You know, do one lap like that or half a lap like that and then walk. Find some type of interval training that works for you that's fun, but you must push yourself. Instead of doing 1 mile walking on a sidewalk that moves underneath you, get outside, you know, get off the treadmill or add some incline to the treadmill. Do something that's going to push you to the next level. You got to have like a wish I were dead type workout, as Ray put it.
Yeah.
You want to be exhausted by the time you're finished.
You got to do that at least a few times a week. I mean, it's you know, what nature requires of you changes over time. And that's why, you know, that's what we're trying to convey to you is that it's time to really take it to a whole new level. And trust us when you tell you, it's a good thing. It really is. I know it sucks because it's not as easy as it used to be. But that's a really good thing at this point because it's going to push you to become a better and better person.
Right. And I think if you kind of change your perspective on that is what kind of sucks is that now you just have to come up with a new workout. Like, you can't just go walk a mile on the treadmill anymore. That was probably boring anyway.
Yeah.
You know? That's the way I look at it. Yeah, I like when my body stops making changes. It makes me make changes to my program, and I always have fun.
Yeah, I always love to see that spark in somebody's eye when, you know, you're training somebody.
Mm-hmm.
And you just see that moment where they just realize, wow, that's movement. That's progress.
Yes, and that feels good.
Right.
Yeah. So right. I hope that answered Julie's question.
And for a lot of you guys out there who have that same question, I hope that really helps you kind of take that next step. And
yeah. So welcome to the mid-30s club.
I think that's good for today as far as answering questions. We'll take this question on the next podcast. Okay.
Oh, that was too lengthy of an answer.
I think it was perfect. Okay. I think it was perfect. I think it really, you know, it's such an important issue for a lot of people out there. And a lot of our listeners are kind of in that age group. Mm-hmm. So I think it's really good for a lot of people.
So share it with all your 35ers.
Yes, yes. And be sure to tell them to go to the iTunes and subscribe to the podcast, and then they can listen to it as well.
Yeah.
All right. So, you know, I promised you guys I was going to tell you that one vital missing component that will cause your results to skyrocket and take your weight loss results to a whole new level. And as I mentioned, if you continue using this technique, this one single technique, you'll virtually guarantee permanent weight loss for the rest of your life. Okay.
Okay. Let's hear it.
So, you know, I started thinking about this back, it was just a few weeks ago, actually, when I was watching this show that's called A Minute to Win It. Have you seen the show? The host of the show is...
I'm horrible with TV. No, I haven't seen it. I'm sorry. It sounds familiar. I might have seen a commercial.
It's called A Minute to Win It. The host of the show is...
Wait. I did see it. I saw the commercial for it. I didn't actually see the show. But you get to do like this crazy... I don't know. I think I saw a girl like stacking up Coca-Cola cans or something.
Exactly.
Okay.
Okay. You have a minute to perform like these crazy little stunts with various, you know, household items. So basically they tell you what all the little stunts are and you get to practice at home. And then if you get on the show, then you have a minute to perform each task. And
okay.
Then
when does it come on?
I don't know. It's kind of just for the story. The show's fun, but the show isn't what we're talking about today.
Okay, sorry. I got really excited
look it up, Blythe.
All right.
Okay, so I was watching the show, and they had a twins episode where they brought these twins on. And what would happen was they would show them what the challenge would be, and the twins would have to decide which one was going to perform the challenge.
Okay.
So, you know, each one was good at some of them and the other was good at others. Okay. So they put up the challenge. The twins look at each other. They kind of discuss and say, well, you know, we're both about equal on this one. You know, should I do this one? And the one twin says, okay, yeah. Okay. You do it. And so, the host of the show, who's that guy from the Food Network with the spiky blonde hair.
Okay.
Yeah, he does like the...
It's not like Jamie Oliver.
Not important. Anyway, he's doing like the build up to the task. And the one twin looks over at the other. The one twin who is about to do the task looks over to the other and says, I can do this, right? And her sister looks at her and says, you got this. And so she turns and she goes and she does the task.
Okay.
So it got me thinking about something that I had learned about from Noah St. John, who wrote the book. Unfortunately, I can't remember the name of the book. But anyway, look him up. Noah St. John is his name. And it's certain success principles.
Okay.
And a lot of the principles that he gives kind of goes against the conventional success principles that are out there from other authors and other speakers. And one of the principles that he talks about is how most people believe that you've got to believe in yourself first,
mm-hmm,
in order to go out there and achieve. And then once you believe in yourself and you achieve the task, then other people believe in you, right?
Okay.
He says that's completely wrong. That goes completely against the true way that people succeed in general.
Mm-hmm.
In general, most people succeed only after somebody else believes in them first.
Okay.
And then they take that power, that energy that they get from that, and they go out and they make things happen. And then they start believing in themselves.
Right.
So somebody who believes in you is what comes first. And then after that, you start to believe in yourself because now you're achieving the results.
Okay.
You see?
Yeah. You know, I talk to my clients about this. Every new client I get, I say a phrase to them and they'll take it or leave it. But most people really listen. It really spikes their ears up. I'll say... Most people believe, show me a miracle and I'll become a believer.
Mm-hmm.
I like to think, show me a believer and I will show you the miracle.
Right.
Be a believer in yourself.
Yeah, but the key point in today's show is that look to other people to believe in you as well.
Sure.
So that you can start to really believe in yourself. Because it's one thing to say to yourself, okay, I can do this. Mm-hmm. I can do this. But it's a whole nother thing, to a whole nother level, when somebody else whose opinion you value looks at you and says, Blythe, I believe in you.
There's a lot of momentum behind that, isn't there?
There's
a lot of power that comes with
that. It's like instant momentum, isn't it?
Yeah.
And so that's a lot of what today's show is about, is what is this one secret that I was telling you about at the beginning of the show? The secret is find somebody else whose opinion you value to become accountable to. When you have that in your life, that is magic. You know, we're just talking about, before we started the show, you and I were just talking about Tony Robbins' new show, Breakthrough, which I suggest to everybody, because the kinds of principles that he teaches can help anybody in a situation who's looking to lose weight. But, you know, he's taking these people who are at the bottom of their life.
Maybe,
you know,
like the lowest
point. They're in the
point.
Pits. Yeah. They're really in the pits. And just to give you an example, the first episode, he took a couple who went to Mexico to have their wedding, had a beautiful fairy tale wedding. Family and friends are there. That night, the groom goes up after the reception. He goes for a swim. He jumps in the pool, breaks his neck, instant quadriplegic. So from the very first night that they're married, he's a quadriplegic and she's his caretaker.
Okay.
And so, man, it doesn't get much lower than that. And so he takes them in 30 days and he helps to kind of turn their lives around. And what I got to thinking about that show. And of course, in the end of this one episode, of course, after 30 days, he succeeds. And it's a beautiful story. It's a beautiful love story that, you know, it basically just shows the power of somebody coming in and believing in them. And I think that's the first thing he did, is he's basically looking at these people saying, you know what? You have no idea what your potential is.
Yeah.
No idea. I do. I know what your potential is. And it's a whole lot more than what you've got going on right now.
Right. And he gets them to believe and takes them on their journey, right?
He does. Okay. And he has a step-by-step way in which he achieves it. And obviously, that's only the beginning of the process.
Right.
But what I'm saying to you guys out there is that sometimes, especially when you think you're in the pits and you think you've tried everything and you can't seem to get this stuff to work, what you really, really need is somebody looking at you and looks at you in the eyes and says, I believe in you. I know you can do this.
So find someone to be accountable to be a supporter.
Yes.
Okay.
And so we're going to talk a little bit more about that in today's show. But before we do, there is one major roadblock, I think, to a lot of people going through and using this one very, very powerful tactic.
Okay.
And that is, most people are more interested in their story than they are in getting results. They're more interested in being able to say to somebody, I did it all by myself, that they never asked for help. They never asked for help. And that's gonna stop you in your tracks. You might remember Michelle Kwan, was that her name? She was a figure skater.
Oh, Kwan, yeah.
Kwan. And, you know, she was the all-out favorite to win the gold medal. And just before she was going to the Olympics, she fired her coach. And when they asked why, she said, I want to do it by myself. I want to prove to everybody out there that I can do it by myself. And because of that pride, she went out there and she was the hands-down favorite. And she fell and she lost. And this, I think, young 16-year-old girl who had a wonderful coach, and just before she went on, she, you know, you could see her talking to the coach and smiling, and she nods, and she goes out into the ice, and she has the...
Was that Oksana Bayul?
I don't remember.
You're touching on my territory. You know, I was a competitive ice skater back in the day.
I didn't know that.
You didn't know? Ooh. We'll have to talk about that one day.
Wow, yeah, definitely. Yeah,
I was a competitive ice skater.
Wow, really? Yeah. So
got some medals at home I can bring in.
Really?
Show and tell.
We'll get some pictures of that. Definitely bring them in. We'll get some pictures. We'll put them up on Facebook.
Oh, my God. No.
Yes. Oh, yeah. You definitely got it. You brought it up. Now you've got to do it. You've got to make it happen. We got to show people this. You know, I put up my white belt picture from when I was a white belt. If I could do that, you can.
Hey, I have to be shown on Facebook in one of those little ice skating outfits with the leotard and the tights.
Oh yeah, and this is back in the 90s, right?
Oh yeah. Oh,
early 90s.
Oh,
this is
early
like,
90s.
This is like bangs and.
Oh yeah, hairspray. Oh yeah, out of control.
I'm looking forward to that. We got to see these pictures.
Okay,
let's definitely send them over.
See what I can dig up.
So okay, so you going back to it? You know, you got to let go. You got to let go of this need to have this heroic story.
Right, right. I totally agree.
And just look for help. Get help from somebody.
It's gonna make you accountable. When there's two of you going for the same goal, mm-hmm. you're more apt to stick to that when there's somebody else involved.
Yes.
Because I don't even know how to describe it, but you know when you tell somebody you're going to lose 5 pounds in a week, if you tell nobody, you're more apt to say, oh, you know what? I might just have that brownie after dinner.
When the moment comes and the brownie's right in front of you.
Yep. What's the choice you're going to make? If you know, even if your friend lives, you know, 20 miles away mm-hmm. and you see that person, hey, how's your weight loss going? Oh, yeah, I did. I lost my 5 pounds. And you feel great about that, even though, you know, there's no less pride. There's very little ego, I think, at the end, once you've reached your solution, once you've reached your actual goal.
Or even before that. I mean, even after you've just said yes mm-hmm. to asking for help, and let's say you decide to find a really great, fantastic personal trainer. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you get some recommendations. People say, this person is fantastic. Take them. You go, you sign up. Or you go in for the consultation, you have the consultation, you sign up for 5 or 10 sessions, and the person's fantastic.
Yeah.
At that moment, when you realize you've got somebody standing in front of you who really believes that you can mm-hmm. do this, then that's the moment that you let go of this need to have this heroic story where you did it all.
Yeah. Love it.
So let's talk a bit about which one should we choose? Should we choose social support or professional support?
Okay.
And I wrote down a few notes, and as I was doing this, and I literally was just kind of reasoning this out, what's better? Is it better to have a friend or a family member who you're accountable to? Let's say you have a friend in the office who wants to lose weight as well, and you guys get together and say, let's lose weight together. Or is it better to hire somebody who's a professional? Okay. So let's take each step. Number one, if it's social, it's free, right? It's a free friend.
Okay.
It's a free... And most people would believe that to be a positive, but in fact, generally speaking, it's a negative, because there's no value to something that costs nothing. And when you're working with a professional, you're paying money. And if you don't do what you're being told to do or what you're being suggested mm-hmm. to do, then you lose something. Right.
And usually if you're paying someone, they're also tracking your results for you, whether they're taking your body fat or weighing you mm-hmm. on a scale. And if they're not seeing results, you know, week by week, they're probably going to start questioning you. There's going to be a bit of pressure with that. Yeah. Also, I find that money makes people accountable.
Yes.
So whether it's like a Biggest Loser contest at work or, you know, and you can win the pot of money.
And you have
or
to put money for, in.
Right. You have to put money into the pot.
Yeah.
And then you get the prize if you win. Either that or like buying sessions, like you said, through a personal trainer or a professional. There's a little bit of pressure there. Money makes people accountable.
Use them or lose them.
Mm-hmm.
And the more strapped you are, the more accountable you're going to
be. Yeah, that's right.
That's the plus of being on the edge of destitute, right?
Okay,
you
sure.
The money you are investing means
that's a whole lot
more to you. Yeah,
hey, that's positive.
That brings us to the next point, which is somebody who's your social support may not be dependable, except in very rare cases where their motivation is more powerful than yours.
Okay.
Right?
Which could switch back and forth.
It can. Mm-hmm. It can.
Especially if you guys are like working out together. There will be times where neither of you feel motivated. There will be times where one of you feels more motivated than the other. And to tell you the truth, that gets a little bit old when you're constantly the motivator for the other person. And sometimes it switches hands, but, you know, if you're a really energetic person like me, I find that I'm always bringing the energy whenever I have a workout partner.
There's almost an imbalance there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's always going to be an imbalance. It's like they say when you have a relationship, one person's always more in love with the other person.
Mm.
It's never equal. It's never
sure.
100% equal. And with a social support like this, somebody's always going to have more motivation.
Yeah.
Somebody's always going to have fewer life circumstances that are making it more difficult. Mm-hmm. There's just so many imbalances that can come into play. And that, unfortunately, leads to a lack of dependability.
Mm-hmm. That and possibly failure.
Yeah.
In your program.
And a professional is practically always dependable. If you got a good professional, they're dependable.
Right.
They're there when they say they're going to be there. They give you the support that you need. And, you know, their livelihood depends on it.
Right.
So they're depending on
the money is their motivator as well.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
They'll be there.
And oftentimes, if they're a good trainer, the reputation mm-hmm. is also a motivator.
Yep.
And oftentimes, the reputation and the need to make a difference in a good trainer or a good counselor mm-hmm. is what drives them. And that's powerful. So, and you kind of touched on this next one, which is if you're in a social relationship where you're basically kind of working with each other to lose weight, it's oftentimes going to be clouded by the person's life difficulties,
yeah.
right?
Yeah.
So you touched on that already.
Whether they're moody, whether they're mm-hmm. emotional, you know, whatever they're going through in life, if they're going through a divorce, you know, I find a lot of women, clients of mine that have either been through a divorce and lost a lot of weight because they teamed up with somebody else and they went out and, you know, exercised together because they had that in common. But when that passes, when that time passes, things change and that relationship takes a turn. It could be for the better, could be for the worse, could be completely opposite for you two.
Right. So. And the problem is you need consistency.
Yes.
You can't have those ups and down swings.
That's exactly right. You need the consistency. So,
and when you have a professional, a real professional has the show must go on type mentality,
yes.
right?
Yep.
And it doesn't matter what happened in their day. You know, it doesn't matter what happened in their life. As long as it wasn't catastrophic, mm-hmm. at which point they would probably call you and reschedule, mm-hmm. Then they will be there in the same intensity during that tough time as they will when times are good.
Yeah. And, you know, that's something that to me is one of the main points. I'm put a big purple star by that one because I think that's super important that you're not sharing, like, not that the relationship between you and your professional isn't an emotional relationship, but it really is like a one-sided. You can tell your trainer things. It's almost like a counseling session. You can mm-hmm. tell your trainer things, but your trainer's probably not going to tell you about their day and their difficulties. You're not
right.
bearing any burden from anybody else. You can maybe vent and, you know, get whatever is bothering you out, but there's no feeding that fire.
That is a good point. As a matter mm-hmm. of fact, I'm adding that to my list here. And I'm going to say, based on what you just said, that in a social working relationship like that, in a social support relationship, it's give and take mm-hmm. with the social, but with the professional, it's for you, it's take.
Yeah.
For them, it's give.
Yeah.
It's never give and take.
And I think that works out. I think that works out as a positive for the person trying to get the results.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. The one who's also paying for that.
Yes.
So let's go to the next one. In a social support setting, your social support is hard to fire.
Oh, yeah. Didn't think. Yeah. And that's every relationship comes to an end.
Mm-hmm. They do.
I believe that. I mean, maybe, you know,
people
who are married for 80 years, but their relationship
eventually
is constantly.
Somebody dies even in that.
That's right. It eventually does come to an end. But I like to think that everybody's relationship ends and then continues again if it's meant to. So,
right.
you know, you may get married when you're 20 and be married until you're 90. But during that time, you go through a whole bunch of different stages
mm-hmm.
of your life. And whether or not you come back together, you know, throughout your relationship dictates whether or not you get divorced.
Right.
But I think with a social relationship, whether it's girlfriends or just, you know, friends, it doesn't matter, or even a child of yours, you know, something like that, very, very hard to dictate what's going to happen.
Yeah. And let's say, you know, you guys, let's say you're all into it and your motivation continues and theirs kind of falls off. It's hard for you to say, you know what, this isn't working for me.
Yeah.
And we can't do this anymore because I'm better than you.
Yeah.
Is basically what they're going to hear.
Oh, and that's a whole nother point right there. The whole I'm better than you. What if you're way fitter than this person to begin with? And all of a sudden it's time for you to change your program. You need to up the bar a little bit and your friend's just not ready to move up. Now right. What do you do? Break off the relationship? Sorry, I can't work out with you anymore. I'm better than you.
Yeah. Different levels.
Most people will hold themselves back. To stay on the same level as that person for fear of hurting their friend's feelings.
And in one person that's going to be, I guess, helpful, but mm-hmm. in the other, it's going to build frustration. It's going to build resentment.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, so yeah, that's good. And when you're hiring a professional, you're hiring because they are a higher level than you.
Right.
And, we'll talk about that in a second, but going back to this, you know, the social support is hard to fire. Perspective. Professional support, easy to fire. You right. stop paying them. You say, look, this right. isn't working for me. Thank you for what you've done, but it's just not working. Or yeah. in some cases, you ask for your money back if they're really bad. But mm-hmm. hopefully, if you've done the research, you found somebody who's good and professional, mm-hmm. that shouldn't be a problem. And sometimes, guys, you have to pay for that. If you want good help, you have to pay for it.
Yeah, don't go out there and look for the cheapest person you can find, because it's probably not going to be. It'll probably be towards a social relationship more than
right.
Isn't more that than a professional truth? Relationship. It's totally the truth.
Yeah, you see a lot of mediocre trainers out there, and what are they? They're more social support yeah. than they are professional support.
They're mediocre. If you're starting to have conversations with your trainer about partying on Friday night, and you guys are going out for drinks together, or something like that, you got to be careful. You got to make sure that you've got somebody who truly is a professional. Not that you can't be friends with your trainer. That's not right. that's not where I'm trying to go, because I've got a few clients that I've become close with, and we'll hang out, go out to dinner or whatever. But it's got to start out on a professional level, so you guys can feel that out and build that relationship.
And when you walk into that office, and when you walk into that gym or wherever you're meeting this person, mm-hmm. it's about them helping you. It's not about you guys helping each other.
That's
it's about them helping you.
Keep that in mind.
Yeah. And unfortunately, it's, when you do become friends, it's hard for the trainer to, it's hard for the other person who's supposed to be supporting you professionally mm-hmm. to start, to bill you again.
Yeah. Yeah. I find that most of my clients who I get along with really well, and I'm not going to say I hang out with every one of them, but the people I really click with, have a love-hate relationship with me where they love to hate me.
Yeah.
At the end of the workout, they hate me.
Yeah.
But the next day, they love me.
Yeah.
And we can be good friends via text message or email.
A professional. That is yeah. a perfect professional
yes.
experience.
Yeah. It's a love-hate relationship. So if you can find a trainer that you hate by the end of your workout, but you love him every other day, that's what you want. And you'll get results.
Very good. Let's go to the next one. Social support. They are experts in failure. Professional support. They're experts in success.
So we're really bashing the social support here.
We kind of are. But
I think it's good to have a training partner, but maybe let it be something that you're not fully committed to. Do you think that would be a good way to go into it?
I'm not saying you can't have friends who you're – just don't – yeah, that's a good way of putting it. And I'd take it to the next level. I'd say, have friends that are your fitness buddies, mm-hmm. but you don't depend on them for your workout.
So maybe, hey, I'm going to go do this. Would you like to join me? Rather than every Wednesday we're meeting at the track at 6 p.m.
Right. Okay. Exactly. Okay. I'm thinking that's the best way to go. Now, for some of you guys, this is not all or none. Some of you guys, you have good social – workout partners mm-hmm. that work just fine. And if you find somebody like that who you click with and who has the exact same motivation as you and who's dependable and all these things that we're saying social support isn't, mm-hmm. then great, definitely keep with that. But I'm saying for the majority of people, you may have to look elsewhere. You may have to look to a professional relationship mm-hmm. in order to really achieve the results you're looking for.
Right. And if it's not worked for you in the past, try something different.
And what I mean by the fact that social support are experts in failure, if they were fit and you're not fit, mm-hmm. they probably wouldn't be having you as a workout partner, right? So the likelihood is you both aren't fit or as fit as you'd like to be. You both have not achieved the goals that you want to achieve. And therefore, you both are experts in failure. And I mean, that sounds harsh. It sounds harsh, but it's not. And it doesn't.
Dun dun.
I don't mean it to sound harsh.
Right.
But it's the fact of the matter. You can't achieve the goal you're trying to achieve by modeling somebody who also has not achieved that goal.
Right. Right? And that's the bottom line. I think it's really important for most people. Everybody wants like a weight loss pill. Everybody wants like the fastest way. Why take the slow way around and find somebody who has not had results either and take their path? Or you guys, go straight to the professional.
Absolutely.
Make a beeline.
Yeah, exactly. Very good. All right. So let's move on. We've got, social support is committed to their own success,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yes.
And professional support is committed to your success. You have two people who want to lose weight, right? Okay. And who come together. They're friends. They both want to lose weight. But if you and I were workout buddies and you and I were looking to lose weight, I'm not thinking necessarily about helping you achieve your goal. I'm thinking about helping me achieve my goal, and I'm thinking about you helping me achieve my goal.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. So you're looking for support from each other, and that's where it becomes like
to achieve your own goal.
Yes. Yeah. You're not worried about the other person.
And that's an energy that it's tough to gain success when the energy is about somebody else and not when your energy is about yourself.
Right.
They say that if you want to get what you want out of life, help somebody else get what they want out of
yes.
life.
Yes.
And by default, that will the natural world will kind of take care of you, mm-hmm. and you'll find what you need.
Yeah.
In that. So yeah, they're committed to their own success. When you're talking about a professional, they're committed 100% to your success. Mm-hmm. That brings me to the next point, which is secretly, your success, or your social support. Is wishing that you will fail.
Oh.
This is a tough
truth.
One. It's truth.
I mean,
because think about it. All right. So we both want to lose weight, right? We both
yes.
have the same goal. But don't we hate it if our friend is losing 3 pounds
but
a week
wait.
And we're losing half a pound a week?
But I'm totally competitive. I will win. So you have to lose. Do you
right.
know what I mean? If you and I were workout partners and we had a contest, I'll win. I'll sabotage you.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? I'm very competitive like that. So a lot of people have even just a little bit of that nature in them where, you know, I'm going to watch my nutrition and I'm not going to tell you, or I'm going to go run a little extra set of bleachers and I'm not going to tell you. I'm going to do something because now you and I are in competition, which may be good for me, but it's not going to be very supportive for you.
Right. Yeah, I say that's a hard one.
That's the truth.
That is the truth. It
you
is.
Better look
and
out.
Most of us don't want to believe that we're capable of that, but we all are. Yeah. We can't help it.
Yeah.
Like if we're working out together and our goal is to lose weight and you're losing 3 pounds a week and I'm only losing half a pound a week, that's going to kill me, right?
Yeah. But that keeps me going.
Yeah.
So it's like a self-propelling whatever. I don't know. But that is what motivates me.
Right.
I know that about me. That's my motivator, is always being one up.
Right. So I think that's a biggie.
In the fitness world anyway, I'm
yes.
sure.
Oh, yeah.
You could one up me on something else.
I'd hate to be working out with you because you would kill me.
You think?
I think so.
I think you would kill me. Maybe we should train each other one day. That might be fun.
Which brings me to my next point.
Okay.
Social support. In a social support relationship, you guys are equals.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I was thinking about this one, and I'm thinking that when I go to a personal development conference, right?
Okay.
And in a personal development seminar or conference, you're sitting out in the seats with a bunch of people, and there's a guy that's standing up or a woman who's standing up on the stage teaching you about success, right?
Okay.
And so we're looking up at this person and we're thinking, man, this person's great. You know, talking about Tony Robbins.
Sure.
Tony Robbins, amazing. He's a genius.
Yeah.
That's our mentality when we're watching Tony Robbins work. But when I'm in the seats, I could be sitting next to a very, very successful CEO of a company. And because we're both sitting in the same seats, I would not think to ask them for advice.
Ah.
So you can't really learn from somebody who you view as your equal because you don't think they have anything of value to provide to you, nothing that you don't know.
Right.
You read diet books, I read diet books.
Mm-hmm.
You read fitness magazines, I read fitness magazines. You don't know anything I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
If you did, you would be fitter than me, right?
Right.
So you can't really have a successful...
Was that a challenge just then?
No. That was hypothetically speaking. Hypothetically speaking.
Okay.
So, equals. But when you're with a professional, you're there perceiving them as being in a higher status, and therefore you'll learn from them.
I totally get that.
Yeah. There's pluses and there's minuses to that type of mentality, but you will learn from somebody who you perceive as knowing more about a topic than you. It's just human nature.
Sure.
It makes perfect sense, right?
Yeah. So, I came up with a little idea while you were reading one of those.
Mm-hmm.
How about, like, a nutritional social circle? How about you guys get together and make some healthy food or exchange recipes or do something like a support group like that rather than the actual physical activity?
Yeah.
You know, I don't know, if you want to get around other people that are like-minded and you want to make it a social setting, that, like, instead of having a book club, have like a recipe club, or have, you know, and they're all nutritional, great ideas, and everybody has to come with a new one.
I like that.
Just an idea.
Because there's no competition there, you know?
I might
like
start
when
one
you
of
guys,
those.
When you're hanging out with other personal trainers and other bodybuilders mm-hmm. and stuff, you guys don't sit there and talk about, oh, well, I lost 3 pounds last week. What did you
no.
do?
No.
No. That's not how real social circles work.
Yeah.
They're there to provide information. They, you know, bodybuilders love to talk about what worked for them.
Mm-hmm.
They love to talk about
personal experience.
Some magic dietary tactic mm-hmm. that they learned. They love to talk about this exercise or that, but they're not competing with you right. in those social circles. I think that's a healthy social circle.
It really is. It's very, yeah. very tight-knit community.
Yes. Very good. Anything else to add on that one?
No, but I think I might start up a nutritional circle. If anybody local wants to join, you just let me know. Send right. me an email. I think that would be a lot of fun. Have like a recipe exchange.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Cool.
Okay, cool.
Leverage. This is my final one. The final point. Leverage with the social circle or social support, leverage is dependent upon how good they've done up to this point. So you can't really have leverage over me unless you've lost 3 pounds and I've lost half a pound. So if I've lost half a pound and you've lost 3 pounds mm-hmm. in the last week, you're not going to – you know, I'm not going to have any leverage over you.
Right.
I can't say, oh, but are you watching your diet?
Right.
But you'll say, well, no, I lost 3 pounds. You lost half
a pound. Yeah, what's the matter with you? Yeah.
Yeah. With a pro – they always have leverage over you.
Yeah.
And that leverage, that someone to be accountable to, yeah. that leverage is what really makes this work.
Yeah.
This is the magic tactic.
It's what makes it work, and it's what keeps it going, which I think is really important. I think having a social support might work in the beginning,
mm-hmm.
but things deteriorate as time goes on.
Absolutely.
So I think we've totally pointed the green arrow to professional support over social support.
Mm-hmm.
But even a combination of both might be okay.
Sure. You know, you're seeing a lot in the personal training world. You're seeing a lot more people going the route of group training or small group training or partner training where they're going in two people are working with one trainer at a time rather than one-on-one.
Love it. It's a lot of fun.
It's a lot of fun. It brings the price down.
Mm-hmm.
And as long as you're using somebody who really knows what they're doing and who can kind of juggle both people and mm-hmm. still get a fantastic workout out of that. Then you're going to do well.
It does take a professional person to be able to to move two or three people and keep them moving.
Right.
That for the hour.
Yeah, it really does. So,
but it is a lot of fun. Group training is great, guys, if you haven't thought about doing that before. If that's a new idea for you, a lot of fun.
Mm-hmm. So, you know what? I mean, thinking back on just this one show, I'm thinking this is one of the best shows that we've done. I think as far as helping people, you know, to really make some movement,
mm-hmm.
you know, some stuff that people may have – I mean, a lot of people think about, well, you know, I just got to find somebody else who's like me who wants to do the same thing. But maybe that's not the best approach. Maybe the best approach is for you to hire somebody who has achieved a lot more than you have in that area of your life that you want to grow or build upon.
Yeah. Cool.
Yeah. All right. So you want to get us on Facebook? Tell us how, Blythe.
Oh, go to www.facebook.com. And actually, you can go to our website, cutthefatpodcast.com. And we do have a Facebook link on there. You can just click right on it. It'll take you to Facebook and then just enter Cut the Fat Podcast. No spaces in between, just one long word. And click on like and you can become a fan and you'll get daily motivational updates. We've got people who can post questions on there. You can mm-hmm. put whatever you want on there as long as it is related to cut the fat.
Discussion boards and all kinds of good stuff.
We've got all sorts of stuff. And actually on our Cut the Fat website, www.cutthefatpodcast.com, I've been putting recipes up. I've got a lot of healthy ideas of meals that you can make if you're you know, looking for something new to try. And this podcast will be available up there and also on iTunes.
Go to iTunes, type in weight loss. We're the number 2 weight loss podcast on iTunes. We want to be number 1. So if you guys will just subscribe and get your friends and families to subscribe, you can help us achieve that goal. And you can also search us by just searching Cut the Fat Podcast and mm-hmm. it'll pull us up as well. And all you do is hit the subscribe button and then these podcasts will be automatically delivered to your iPod as soon as they are available. And we also post on Facebook when a new podcast is up. We put that up there so that you can, you know, that it's been posted.
Yeah. Can I mention one last thing?
Sure.
It's for our local listeners. And I don't know how many of you out there are local, but we would love for you to tune in this weekend, we're going to have a weight loss hour on the Your Prescription for Health radio show. It's on 680 AM WCBM. You can listen live online.
Yeah, but don't worry, because after we do that, we will edit it and put it on the podcast as well.
Oh, cool. Okay, yeah. We can do that. We can do that. Or if you want to listen live on Sunday at 10 a.m.?
10 a.m.
Okay.
10 a.m. Sunday, Eastern Standard Time. Also, in the second hour of that show, we are thrilled to say we're going to be having... Nope. You know what? I'm not going to tell everybody. Oh, it's a secret.
I was going to shout it out, too.
No, we're going to post that on the podcast as well, guys. We got a wonderful surprise for you guys. Coming up here, probably in the next week or two, we'll post this podcast. Now that they know that it's on, they're going to try to listen live. But
I tell you something about me?
Yeah, what's that?
I'm a horrible secret keeper. I might just shout it out as we turn this podcast off.
Oh, no.
Hurry.
Okay, well, we're out of here. Guys, we're going to leave you with the Grilled Lincolns. Check them out at www.grilledlincolns.com. You can also download the music off of iTunes, or if you are a Rhapsody person, you can go and listen to them on Rhapsody. They're fantastic. Thank you guys very much for tuning in here on Cut the Fat Podcast. We look forward to bringing more shows to you in the future.
Thanks for listening.
See ya. And all the sticky things that keep me silent are the same things that make you sick world by them. Cause it's not me and it's not you. It's not the places you make us go to. And only the scaredest boys single not their shoes, cause it comes loose. And you ain't gonna walk again. Something new. Well, I'm your brother and I hope you do. I don't know what can make you feel your days, but for now I wish you'd just come back when you're okay. Forget your shoes, just wear your flip-flops in the snow.